You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, and also with me, my co-host, Keelan Harvey, right here at 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, May 12th show. It's a great day to talk money, and that's what the show is all about, how to make money, save money, have a better quality of life for you and your family. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but we are here to answer any questions that you might have or get connected with the guests that we have on the show today. You can call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. In studio right now, regular contributor of my show is Randy Banneker with Banneker Public Affairs, the battle for reason in a fast-growing region. Randy, thank you so much for coming back in studio.
Great to be here. Thank you, Tina.
And a little bit about Randy. Randy has been engaged in our region's critical issues for more than 20 years. He has an extensive experience advocating complex, highly visible, and controversial land use and public policy initiatives. Randy is a leader in the region's business community and has a strong record of community service, which includes co-chair policy committee of the Greater Seattle Chamber of Commerce, president, Villa Academy Board of Trustees, past chair, Bellevue Chamber of Commerce, past president, Seattle City Club. Prior to forming Banneker Public Affairs, Randy held government affairs positions at Washington Natural Gas, Puget Sound Energy, and the Rocky Company. He also comes in and presents. We get to see him face-to-face outside a studio with all of my real estate professionals for a Power Hour Lunch and Learn. And really just, I want to give a shout-out and thank you, Randy, for everything that you do for our region and for our area in dealing with all of these complex things that that come up. So really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Randy, you're engaged in public affairs and government relations work in our region, representing groups like the Seattle King County Realtors and other organizations and businesses trying to do something with government or have government do something to them. What are the major issues you're seeing right now?
A couple. Certainly housing. We're, you know, the housing market, we're seeing record highs in terms of housing prices, and inventory has plummeted to record lows. That is pressured every housing unit from a mansion on the lake down to something at the most entry level or even a rental. Homelessness, the whole region is addressing the issues associated with homelessness. And as Tina mentioned earlier, Seattle right now is in the throes of contemplating a tax on every full-time equivalent employee, a tax on jobs. And that's forced a lot of consideration in the business community about the climate for business.
So, Randy, if Seattle goes through with the jobs tax, will there be any issues or impacts outside of Seattle?
I don't think there's any question that this is going to have ripple effects throughout Central Puget Sound. You know, economic prosperity is not guaranteed. I'm in my mid-50s, and looking back on my youth, you know, we all had friends and family that suffered through aerospace cycles.
Yes.
When I was really, until relatively recently, the business community, we've been talking about how to diversify our economy and how to strengthen it and how to add jobs to this region so that we'd have more economic opportunity. That's been really hard work. And to dismiss that is really kind of scary. What Seattle does, because it's the major city in the region, it sends a message.
Yes.
Nationally. And it's a message that is not a positive one for a potential employer wanting to come into the region.
Yeah, it makes sense.
You mentioned that housing is a part of the jobs tax discussion as revenue source to build more housing for the homeless. Does market rate housing have a connection to the issue?
It does, I think. Supply is tight at every price point. And if you think about housing as a continuum, as a ladder, you can add housing supply everywhere at every point along that continuum, or to use the ladder analogy, you know, you're adding rungs to the ladder. And when you do that, more people can get on the ladder and more people can move up the ladder. When people can't get on the ladder or move up the ladder, then you're in a situation where the folks at the lower rungs are the most impacted, mm-hmm. Because they are pressured. They are pressured off without a safety net, and I think that's the sort of effect that we're beginning to see, or that we have been seeing.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, it's a hard dynamic to try to figure out to find that balance to take care of the lower income and prevent from, you know, all the homelessness and be able to keep the city growing. So we've talked about thinking about the all-time lows in the housing inventory. What can be done to improve the inventory, Randy?
Right. You know, I really think the most important thing we need to do regionally is agree that we need to ensure there's an adequate supply of housing relative to job growth. And just looking at a data point, and I won't get too wonky here, but we have a government agency that's called the Puget Sound Regional Council, and mm-hmm. it's made up of principally the urban counties in central Puget Sound. Well, they do a lot of forecasting. They have demographers that tell us how many people we should expect in terms of population and employment, and their job is to look out. So they have just released a forecast for the year 2050, and they estimate a tremendous increase in population. The math that I've done, and I won't go into it now, but if you allocate that population and the housing units required to accommodate that population mm-hmm. to King County, we need to add in King County 13,437 housing units per year for the next 32 years.
That is crazy.
Just to keep up with a number that's relatively conservative.
Wow.
Wow. And, you know, with Seattle's unique metroplex surrounded all by water, our geography alone doesn't necessarily allow for that. So what are some of the obstacles to innovative designs or better use of the land?
Well, I think we have to, again, decide that we're going to look a little bit differently, be more creative in how we use the limited land supply that we have. We've talked in earlier visits about the state's Growth Management Act, and that set up what they call the urban growth boundary. And the idea was that you would direct growth into the urban areas mm-hmm. and have compact, dense development. And in doing so, you'd curb sprawl and you'd protect rural and resource lands. Done a pretty good job of that, but we need to do more about the density within the urban area.
So, Randy, what is it going to take to make some real on the roads on housing?
Well, I think part of it is again, we need to turn that corner and not be afraid of change and not be afraid of growth. Mm-hmm. Change can bring some opportunities, and the good news is we've got some really strong examples of where growth and density has created exciting places to be and new neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And as those have emerged, we've also been able to protect our single family neighborhoods. And I just point to the activity that's happened in South Lake Union, in downtown Bellevue, downtown Kirkland. I think you can watch downtown Redmond and also Overlake Village as mm-hmm. it grows out, and Issaquah. These are communities that are taking on growth and doing it in a way that that builds character to the community.
So can't they see that as an example and model that into the areas that they're not having as much success in?
I think so. I think just legitimately there is a lot of fear and frustration. And I've spoken with one elected official who kind of characterizes what's going on in the region. It's as though the entire region is undergoing a kitchen remodel.
Yeah.
You know, just there's dust everywhere. Everything's, you know, torn up. It's hard to get from point A to point B. You don't know where things are.
Kind of bad kitchen model. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. But again, there is going to be a near-term
sure.
price to pay when
sure.
you have economic expansion. And I think the challenge for us is to recognize that that's going to happen, but not have that just chill us. We need to keep moving and keep talking and being creative.
Well, Randy, obviously cities and counties play a role in that. What are some of the solutions that they're getting involved in?
You know, for cities, it's really that idea of taking a look at your zoning and looking at ways to better use the land you have. And that can be through multifamily development, townhouse development, things that, again, in the right areas where you can increase the zone capacity and offer some housing units for rent or ownership. In terms of the county, the county's job is really to ensure that there is a regional plan and that the cities within the county can coordinate. And that's happening. I'd just say we need to turn up the dial on that regional discussion, regional coordination on a few areas, ensuring that the transportation connections are in place, and also thinking about promoting economic opportunity to some of those cities that have not seen the growth that we have in Seattle and East King County.
Yeah. Well, instead of, I got to give a shout out here for my husband because it is my show, well, and Keelan's show as well. he, you know, he's in his retirement, instead of playing golf, he's now city councilman. He's on the, for Newcastle. But I thought with all this going on, I was like, geez, I wish he was on as councilman in Seattle. But anyways, so Randy, how about the state legislation?
Well, okay, so the state has, I mentioned the Growth Management Act before. That is really the rules by which population and employment is forecasted and then planned for.
Okay.
The state then directs local jurisdictions, counties, and cities to take that data and work with it and have it be a comprehensive planning effort. Again, which sounds pretty wonky, but the rubber meets the road pretty quickly because it's all about where people live, where they work, and how they get between point A and point B. So the state legislature can better clarify the need to balance jobs and housing.
Got it.
So, Randy, we established that we need to add housing, but how do we maintain the community character and the community quality?
Mm-hmm. So that's really the key, is ensuring that as we grow, we don't lose the feel of the neighborhoods that we love. And I'm really excited about a housing strategy that Kirkland, the city of Kirkland, has just adopted, where they are going to look at innovative housing types. And they're going to look at more dense use of land, but they want to do so neighborhood by neighborhood with an eye towards maintaining that neighborhood character. Mm. And that, I think, is one of the strategies that's going to get us through the challenges we face. Is we want to make people, we don't want people to feel that their neighborhood that they love and they raise their family in has changed completely.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, Randy, as we're wrapping up our time here today for all of our listeners, what can people do to get involved?
They can do things like your husband and serve on a city council. There are lots of volunteer opportunities to engage in the planning effort. There are planning commissions. Mm-hmm. There are community meetings. It's really a matter of leaning into the problem and talking to your neighbors and friends about how we can both promote a economy that is vibrant and also have a place for those jobs to go home at night, which is a home.
Yeah. Big goals and big planning to make those come together. So, Randy, thanks again for coming into the studio. Look forward to having you back real soon.
Thank you, Tina.
Coming up next on the Money Hour, what's happening with Seattle rental laws? Holly Fern with Lynn Mack Commercial LLC right here at 1150 AM KKNW after the short break.